today on The Travel Guys.
In the travel news, Delta confirms what United told us about first-class seats. Now premium flyers know why the courtesy upgrades have all but disappeared. Plus, the UK and Mexico are adding junk fees onto different types of travel. Details next in the news.
Our friends at TSA in Sacramento have a few tips for your Christmas holiday travels. We'll share them with you in our Smarter Traveler segment at 11:22.
The mailbag coming up at 11:35 is where we answer your travel questions on a wide variety of subjects, including when to get the lowest airfares, all about clear. Send your questions to us at TravelGuysRadio.com.
Lots of folks will be traveling for Christmas and New Year's. Our job is to make you just a little bit smarter when you hit the road on the airport. Welcome to The Travel Guys.
On the road again.
Welcome, everyone, to another edition of the Travel and Entertainment Guys. Every day's a new day. When we talked to you last, Mark was off on a mystery Christmas trip, and now we find him at his destination. And unfortunately, due to certain technical issues, we have Mark on the phone. Mark, welcome to the Travel Guys. Let's tell folks where you are and what you've been doing.
I'm in the little town of Grapevine, Texas. Actually, it's not a little town. It's about 50,000 people. For those of you who know your Texas geography, Grapevine sits on the northeast corner of DFW Airport. Actually, Grapevine is a very historic little town. It was founded in 1848. It actually was here before Dallas, which is, you know, the Dallas Metroplex is huge, with, what, about 5 million people living in the area here. And, of course, this is one of the biggest airports on the entire planet. And Grapevine is tucked just on the northeast side here. And they do a wonderful thing at Christmas time where this town just goes bananas for Christmas, particularly in their downtown area and the like. There is all kinds of stuff. It appears as though it's incredibly popular with local people, but it has made, Tom, the top 10 Christmas destinations in the United States list now in a number of places, and it's pretty obvious that this little town is headed maybe the same direction as places like Salem, Massachusetts for, you know, for Halloween,
right?
That this place is becoming so well known for Christmas that people are, you know, we're leaving here, it's the 14th, we leave to fly home this afternoon, and it's a weekend, and I can just tell you, this little town is bumper to bumper. Everything is decorated for Christmas. It's really a beautiful place. If you were looking for an authentic Christmas spot and you could get here the first 10 days or so of December, Grapevine, Texas would be an excellent choice.
So what, here again, you in tow with you are some sports leisure vacationers. What are they saying about their trip?
Well, they're really enjoying themselves because it is, like I said, such an over-the-top Christmas destination. I mean, they have everything is decorated, and all of the there are lots of shops in downtown Grapevine, which are really, you know, sometimes you go to touristy areas and the shops and things are really loaded with touristy stuff, junk, I would say, you know, and a lot of it's overpriced.
Right.
It's the stuff that people buy when they're on vacation or mm-hmm. they buy for their kids or to keep them happy or whatever. But here in Grapevine, the main street has some really nice shops, some of them really upscale, and some of them specialty stores and the like. So it's really a fun place. There's an old-time theater that we've been to a couple of times, a variety of really great restaurants. We went to some lights out in Grand Prairie, are at the Dallas Arboretum this morning for a holiday tea before we head to the airport and make it back home. So, if you're going to be in Texas, around Christmas time in the future, this would not be a bad choice to get into the spirit.
All right, there you go. There's your update from Mark on his mystery tour. We are the Travel Guys, and at the top of every Travel Guys radio program, we bring you up to date on the travel news. And with today's edition of the Travel News, once again, Mark, what you got for us today?
Well, Tom, Marriott Hotels say they're going to enter the outdoor lodging market. They have acquired a company called Postcard Cabins. formed a long-term agreement with another company called Trailborn to expand into outdoor-focused lodging. So you will be able to go. This is going to launch next year. It's going to feature tiny homes and cabins in nature-forward destinations. So you'll be able to stay with Marriott not only in a big city, but in a small cabin out in the middle of nowhere, probably before very long. We'll have more details when we get them here at the Travel Guys. American Airlines has announced Advantage program updates for next year. You recall United Airlines raised the bar on for their frequent flyers slightly on all categories, or at least on the higher categories. American has now announced updates to its American Advantage program for 2025. They are keeping the status and loyalty points requirements unchanged for the second straight year, and they are offering new items, options like personalized luggage tag, World of Hyatt awards, and sustainable aviation fuel support, which you can now do with your miles. You can also use miles for in-flight purchases now on American Airlines flights, Wi-Fi, lounge access, and other exclusive events. Welcome to the real world, American Airlines.
Mm-hmm.
A North Carolina airport workers took off on a strike over low wages. They went. This is Douglas Airport in Charlotte. Say that the workers there say they make as little as $12.50 an hour, cannot afford rent and food, and the strike was settled on Thursday of this week. The workers are going to get an average of a $10. Non-tipped workers will get an average of a $10 raise over an hour over 4 years, and tipped workers will get an average of a $5 raise over 4 years, and they are back to work. So if you're headed to Charlotte, hopefully that won't cause you any serious issues. And speaking of the planet, aviation news shows here the World Travel and Tourism Council released its net zero roadmap for travel and tourism. Among the notable findings is that the number of travel-related businesses committed to reducing carbon emissions jumped 27% in the last 3 years. Also shows that the aviation industry has reduced its carbon output by 6%. In the last 4 years, while cruise and hotel sectors lessened their carbon output by 11%, they are all hoping for net zero emissions by 2050. Delta Airlines has increased investment in premium seating and luxury lounges, resulting in 3/4 of their first class seats being paid for. That is really significant because 15 years ago, 12% of those first class tickets were sold. Now 75% of them are being sold, and on some popular routes, as many as 85 to 90%. So if you're one of those high category Delta flyers or United or even American, any carrier with a first class cabin, they are seeing much higher response. Part of that, as I've said before, is not asking 4 times the coach fare for first class, but maybe asking 2.5 times. The airlines have finally figured out that it's way better to sell a coach seat for a first class seat for $1,000 rather than give it away to nothing for somebody on an upgrade. I'm sure the premium travelers appreciate those upgrades, but cash is king and the airlines are figuring it out.
It's about time somebody figured it out.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Like I said, as a premium flyer myself on United Airlines in Southwest, which doesn't have first class, snaring an upgrade, which used to happen half the time at least, has become very rare. And I'm not complaining. I mean, there are other benefits to being a tiered traveler for an airline, but certainly the first class upgrades were one. However, the good news is that you don't have to wait for an upgrade now. You can get it for a reasonable price. So I guess the tip that I'd like to share is for those of you who like the little bit of extra legroom, you can afford to pay a little bit higher fare. You might want to check out the first class fares next time you're buying a ticket, because you may find in some cases the premium for first class is only $100, $150. If the airline can see that, you know, it's 2 weeks before departure and we've got most of these seats left, then they're going to start selling them for a lower rate. So there you go. Listen, some news here from Sacramento International Airport. We're going to talk a little bit about TSA and our Smarter Traveler segment, but SMF set a screening record over Thanksgiving for most passengers in a day. Also, Terminal B checkpoint, which is where Southwest and Alaska are, is now opening at 3:30 in the morning to accommodate some of the early morning departures. Terminal A is opened at 3:45. So if you've got one of those crack of dawn trips, then you can get through airport security reasonably early. And last item here on our news, a couple of international destinations are looking to get into travelers' pockets. The UK has created a thing called an electronic travel authorization. If you are traveling through the UK, this starts on January the 8th. Everything that I'm reading here, and we'll try to get some more information for you next week, is that even if you are connecting in the UK, you need one of these electronic travel authorizations. You can go online and find some information about it. I've tried to post some information for you at travelguysradio.com, but it's called an electronic travel authorization, or an ETA, to enter the United Kingdom or even to pass through the United Kingdom starting on January the 8th. So if you have a trip scheduled to the UK, check with your travel advisor or go online to find out what that all is going to cost. And finally, Mexico, the federal government has announced a six-month delay in implementing a proposed $42 U.S. fee for cruise passengers. The fee was to take effect on January the 1st. It will now be deferred until July the 1st, following some discussions between the Mexican government and the cruise lines here in the United States. The concern is that the $42 per passenger fee is significantly higher than the average cost at other Caribbean countries and ports of call. In fact, some Mexican tourism experts now have pointed out that this could indeed damage Mexico's cruise market, that a $42 add-on to cruise fares might mean that people might pick another destination. So that's put off for 6 months. At least they won't be into your pocket for that one for a little while. And that's your travel news for today.
All right. Check us out at travelguysradio.com. Hey, I'd like to pass on a Merry Christmas from our friends at Rudy's Hideaway and Lobster House. Rudy's has all your holiday needs covered. In-house banquets and off-site catering is available for all your party needs. Plus, this month, they're offering a great gift card idea for you. Purchase a $100 gift card and get $20 for yourself. The offer ends on December 23rd, so you hurry down and get your gift cards right away. This is a great way to give and receive at the same time. Rudy's Hideaway Away at Lobster House, the place in Sacramento for hand-cut steaks, jumbo lobster tails, and gift cards for the whole family since 1970. Don't forget to ask for the Travel Guy special and tell them the Travel Guy sent you. That's Highway 50, just off Hazel. We are the Travel and Entertainment Guys. You reached out to our buddies Dale and Sid with the TSA and asked them a couple of questions. And, boy, they came back with a lot of really good answers for us. So what did you ask and what do we know?
Well, we know that, as we mentioned earlier, that more people passed through security. Actually, it was on December the 1st on Thanksgiving weekend. Than have ever passed through. They had slightly over 25,000 people that they screened at the Sacramento airport. They had no particular issues at Thanksgiving or Christmas. At Thanksgiving, we are headed for Christmas. And I asked the guys, they give me a little update and a couple of tips. One thing that they told me is that they have 10 new CT X-ray machines that they have deployed. There are six deployed in Terminal B and four in Terminal A in the standard lanes. Now, these new machines are slightly faster than the old ones that they replaced, and they allow for increased security without additional cost and time. The new machines allow electronic items to remain in your carry-on bag, which TSA pre-check people have been able to do for a while. So that takes less time to take things out, put them back in, all that kind of jazz. So it's not at every machine yet, though. So listen to the officer as you're approaching the lane that you're going into. If you don't have pre-check and you're just a regular, just regularly going through security, and the officers will let you know if you happen to be in one of those lanes where you don't have to take those electronics out. So that's good news. We are headed towards what it seems to be a situation where nobody will have to take those computers and other electronic items out of their carry-on bags very soon. Biggest tip that I got from these guys, Tom, what do you suppose that might be?
Well, let's see. Knowing Dale and Sid, one of the tips, and I may be all off base on this one, but one of the things that they always talk about in regards to making sure you don't have any issues when you go through the TSA line is to always start your packing with an empty bag.
Is that the one? You've got it. And, you know, because as Dale told me, whenever they find an item, a prohibitive item in a bag.
Like a firearm.
He's talking about like a firearm or a large knife or something like that. The answer inevitably from the people is, oh, my God, I didn't know it was in the bag. So you would think that, you know, I mean, I don't know. When I start to pack a suitcase, I can generally see the whole suitcase and I know what I'm doing. But I will confess that I have carry-on bags that I use where I would go through security that have nooks and crannies in them. Now, I don't carry a firearm or a knife, so I'm probably in pretty good shape there. But nonetheless, you know, a stray water bottle or something that like that with some water in it could end up in one of those pockets, and then I would then bring the line to a screeching halt. And really, to folks, if you get out there and you've got a firearm or something in your bag, your life is going to get a lot more complicated. You may not make your flight. So why mess with all of that? So really and truly, the best wisdom that any of us can give you is that when you start to pack a bag for the airport, you should check all the nooks and crannies and make sure that the bag is completely free of anything that might hold you up. It seems kind of simple, but since it happens so darned often, and I mean, to me, it's hard to imagine carrying something like that in a bag and not knowing that it's there, but obviously it happens. Some people are probably just not being very diligent or very thorough, and maybe some people thought they could get it through security or whatever, but start with an empty bag.
Whether
it's a firearm or just a bottle of water.
There you go. Well, I know more than one person that when they come home from a trip, they, you know, the last thing they want to do is unpack the bag. You know, it goes out into the garage or whatever, and because they've got plenty of clothes in the house and whatever, and they don't get around to unpacking that bag and at all until it's just about time to go, and then they may not completely unpack it and so forth. So, you know, I could, like I say, it's hard to imagine if you're going to be, you have something like a weapon that hangs around in a bag when you repack, but just great advice. If you start with an empty bag, you can't go wrong.
Absolutely. Listen, you're listening to the Travel Guys on KFBK. This is our Smarter Traveler segment, and we're talking a little bit about travel during the holidays and some things that you can do to make sure that you're not the person who holds up the line. And when you're trying to get through security, the first important thing, make sure you start with an empty bag. The second thing that the TSA folks said was, listen, they didn't experience serious line difficulties and delays, but really and truly, pack your patience. We already know that the parking situation at the airport and during the holidays, the lots are going to be very full. It's going to be very busy. Some folks are going to go out there to the airport saying, oh, you know, I can get to the airport an hour and a half before my flight leaves and I'll have plenty of time. Maybe not so much. It's a lot easier to leave your home a little earlier and allow yourself a few minutes extra time. You get to the airport, you find that the lot you wanted to park in is full. Now you've got to drive to another one. You've got to wait for a shuttle bus. Suddenly your life has gotten a lot more complicated. So pack your patience, because then when you get up to TSA, and that's the last hurdle you have to clear to get to your boarding gate, you've got your wits about you. You're not, you know, trying to ask people if you can cut in line and all concerned. And, of course, that's going to be the one time that you have something that they say, you know, we're going to have to take another look at this bag. So take a deep breath. The night before you're supposed to leave, think about the length of time, and really and truly, during the holidays, plan to be at the airport on the grounds 2 hours before your flight leaves. That should put you in the terminal an hour and a half or so before your flight leaves. You can get through security. You've got enough time to fill up your water bottle, use the restrooms before your flight starts boarding. So the idea of packing your patience. Also, as the TSA people say, people who are frazzled by the time they get to security are a lot tougher to deal with. So if you're settled down and, like I said, you've got your wits about you, it's going to be a lot easier for you to get through. Also, another thing they said that really seems kind of obvious, but before you leave home, check to make sure you've got your ID with you. Because if you get to the airport and you don't have an ID, listen, there are some ways to get through security without an ID, but they are time-consuming, both for you and for the staff at TSA. So really and truly, it may sound simplistic as check the suitcase to make sure it's empty before you leave home. But, you know, another look in the wallet to make sure that you're carrying the proper ID or you've got your passport or whatever it is that you need to get through security, that you've got it with you. And also, we've talked about this real ID requirement. We're probably going to talk a lot more about it after the first of the year. I have held off because they postponed it several times. They're talking about postponing it again. But the reality is that if they don't on May the 7th, you're going to have an entirely different type of ID than you had before. Okay, one last tip. If you need special assistance through security, you can reach out to TSA Cares before travel at tsa.gov and make sure. So if you have any special requirements, they can help you if you reach out to them before you get to the airport.
Brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Remember now, you can follow along and links to our special guests and places where you can leave us questions for the mailbag, travelguysradio.com. Okay, Mark, we've been promising folks that we would go to the mailbag and answer their questions. So today we're going to spend the next back half of the show, the next 30 minutes, doing exactly that. So are you ready?
I am ready. By the way, I had to kind of sort these out. I picked a dozen or so. We had almost 30 questions in the mailbag, so many of them that came after, I guess probably after we mentioned last week that folks could send them in. So if you don't hear yours, I tried to answer them individually, if at all possible. If you didn't get an answer, why, maybe try sending it again, and I'll try to shoot you an answer.
All right. Sounds good. All right. Let's begin. Samuelson inquires, can you explain, Mark, what CLEAR is? We've talked about this on the show many times. He says that he's seen it at the airport, and it seems to have something to do with pre-check. So what can you tell Samuelson?
Well, first of all, Samuelson, it may look like it has something to do with pre-check because at many airports it's set up next to it. Because most people who have CLEAR have pre-check also. Not always, and in some airports there is more than one CLEAR entrance. Anyway, before I can make it too complicated, it's an additional line cut, basically, to make it simple. It's something where you give them some of your information and they do a background check, and so they've decided that you can walk up and put your fingers on the – get your fingerprints or your – eyes checked out, and that gives you a line cut for TSA. That's basically what it is. It will cost you some money unless you have a high status credit card. For example, I'm at the top of the United pile, so I'm a 1K United flyer, and one of the benefits they give their 1K flyers is they give you an enrollment in CLEAR. So that's how I get it. If I did not get it that way, would I pay, it's $100-something for several years? No, I wouldn't, because TSA pre-check in most cases is all you really need. I mean, if you travel frequently, you need to get that. If you travel frequently, you don't really need to get CLEAR. If you can get it for free, great. If you can't, the other problem with CLEAR is that at some airports, if you have pre-check, CLEAR sometimes is not next to pre-check, so that creates a little bit of a problem. You end up in a regular line, and maybe you didn't save much time.
What for Samuelson and others that might be thinking this, how do you sign up for CLEAR? Is that done at the airport?
You can do it at the airport. They have machines there where you can literally get signed up at the airport, and some of their staff will help you if you need it. But separate from the CLEAR check-in station, there usually are in Sacramento, there are places for you to register for the program.
Okay, our next question from the Travel Guys mailbag is from Samantha. She said that she heard the Poodle Gal talking about European river cruises, but not a river cruise in the U.S. Do you have a company that you'd recommend, Mark, for U.S. river cruises? What do you think is the best itinerary on a U.S. river cruise?
The company I would recommend was the Delta Queen Steamboat Company, which went out of business. The Delta Queen itself is here in Sacramento, but the American Queen, which was their last river-going ship, was retired a couple of years ago and scrapped. So they were the folks who really were the old-time paddle wheel river cruise sort of people. American Cruise Line is probably the best of the gang out there right now. I don't have a lot of experience with any of them because we used Delta Queen Steamboat Company for many, many, many years at Sports Leisure Vacations. So we are going to just start wandering out ourselves into the Great River Cruise area, and we'll get the poodle booked it gal on here, and we'll ask her exactly your questions. I would say best itinerary for a U.S. river cruise is probably the Columbia River, Columbia and Snake River itinerary. I know it's regional, and for a lot of people who live in California, it might not be exciting enough, but for most people who live in other parts of the country, that's a really cool trip for them. Otherwise, I'd say Great Lakes, but be careful, because on the Great Lakes, you're not on a river. You're on a big lake, which is sort of like being on an ocean. So the water is going to move around a little bit more. So just be aware of that.
All right. Very good. By the way, if you're just joining us, we're Mark and Tom, Travel and Entertainment Guys. We're going through the Travel Guys mailbag, which resides at TravelGuysRadio.com. All right. Our next question to the Travel Guys mailbag is from Solanda. She says, I've heard you talk about an event in Southern California every summer called the Masters Exhibition Pageant or something. Sounds really neat, but I can't find any information about it online. Mark, I know you know a lot about this one, so go ahead.
Probably the reason she can't, you got the name in there, but you just have the words in the wrong order.
Right.
It's the Pageant of the Masters. So if you're looking under Masters Exhibition Pageant, that may be why you didn't get it. But Pageant of the Masters, it's in Laguna Beach. It's every summer. They say it's where art comes to life. Basically, it's a show put on by a whole lot of dedicated volunteers. And what they do is create pieces of art on stage. So, for example, think of the picture of The Last Supper. And you're looking at it. Most people are familiar with the layout of that. Now, people come out on stage, and the curtain comes up, and now you're looking at a living Last Supper. They're not moving. Mm-hmm. They're just there. And then there'll be another one, and then there'll be another one. And some of them are famous paintings or famous sculptures or different things like that. It's really quite a unique event. There's nothing like it anywhere in the world. It goes on for about a month in Laguna Beach. Sports Leisure Vacations takes a couple groups to it each summer. And I don't know, tickets are about the cost of a theater ticket, maybe slightly less expensive. The whole Laguna area, though, bring your wallet, because if you're going to stay down there, if you're a poor person, you'll stay somewhere else and commute to Laguna for the Pageant of the Masters. But anyway, that's what it's called Laguna Pageant of the Masters, and it's held every summer in Laguna Beach.
You know, this seems to me, Mark, to be the perfect kind of acting job that I could probably get, because it doesn't require any moving or any speaking. I just hold a pose. Are the people that they use for this, are they like volunteers, or do they, what do you know about that?
In most cases, yes, they are.
Okay. Well, maybe one of these days, if you visit the Pageant of the Masters, there I'll be at the Last Supper or something. All right. Well, we're going to do one more question, I think, and then we'll take a timeout and come back for the second half of the questions to the Travel Guys mailbag. So let's talk about Michael's question. Let's give him an answer. He asks about using credit cards while traveling. This is a great question. How much risk is there giving people your card number and other information on the card to reserve a meal or something else weeks or months before you arrive? How do you know your information is protected?
And the answer to that is, in most cases, you don't.
Yeah. Leap of faith.
It is a little bit of a leap of faith. What some people do, Michael, is if they have a variety of credit cards, they use one card for all of the same card for all of those situations. So that if the card gets compromised, they're only going to lose the ability to use one card. So, yes, a lot of folks want a credit card guarantee. If you're filling that out online and it's automated and you're submitting it, it's likely that there's some level of protection. If you're just filling out a form and scanning it and sending it back to them, then it's probably going to sit on somebody's desk or something like that. It's probably not as well protected. All you can really do is ask the vendor what they do to protect your information and then make a decision. You know, in some cases, it's the only way that you can do business with somebody, so you don't have a lot of choices. But in some cases, as a tour operator who frequently pays hundreds, if not thousands of dollars at a time to vendors using credit cards, I understand the question completely because I'm often in the same situation. And over the years, I've had a couple of cards be compromised. We've had pretty good luck, but I try to be careful. And when somebody asks me to do something that I feel is leaving me really exposed, I'm like, how about if I call you on the phone and give you the number and you write it down? But then again, how do I know that that person is honest and not going to leave the piece of paper laying around on their desk with my card number and the expiration date and the security code and all that jazz?
Well, you know, here again, we've talked about it many times. Using, let's say, a debit card, you have no recourse. The money's gone. With a credit card, if there's a dispute at any time over the charges and so forth, you have the credit card company that will back you up. So there's the plus side. All right, we're doing the Travel Guys Mailbag. Shelley and Jackson and all kinds of great questions having to do with Bryce Canyon, with Route 66, as well as getting a special price on Southwest Airline cards from Costco.
And before we get back into the questions, I just had a couple of notes that people sent in. These aren't really questions. This one comes from Steve in Las Vegas, who is a gentleman who listens. He listens to the show live.
Wow.
And because he talks about listening to Allworth Financial beforehand. And he asks if we had a podcast. And indeed, we do have a podcast. If you go to travelguysradio.com, it'll prompt you to sign up for it, and then we'll send you a note every week that just says, here's the link to the podcast, and you can listen to it anytime. And actually, the audience for the podcast recently has started to exceed the audience for the regular program. So the podcast gets you everything you get in the regular program except for the commercials and the newscasts, which, since they would be a few days old, the newscasts wouldn't be all that relevant probably anyway for you. So thank you, Steve. And then let's see. There was one other note here. Over Thanksgiving weekend, we used Alice's Restaurant as some of our bumper music and stuff and told the story a little bit about that old Arlo Guthrie song. And there were a couple folks who wrote in. This one came from Kim, and she said, please tell Tom thanks for sharing the backstory about Arlo Guthrie's song called Alice's Restaurant and encouraging listeners to find it on YouTube. I followed his suggestion, enjoyed the song, and told several friends. Incidentally, did you know there's an Alice's Restaurant on the top of the mountain in Woodside, California? I did not.
All right.
But anyway, so some of our folks writing from all over the place. All right, back to the mailbag, Tom.
All right. Shelley asks if we have any tips for visiting national parks. We know that Sports Leisure has done that quite often for many years. She has encountered huge crowds at Yosemite and Redwood Parks in California, as well as Bryce Canyon in Utah. You have any suggestions of other destinations?
Yeah, you've got to avoid the peak periods.
Yeah.
So, for example, at Sports Leisure Vacations, we're taking people to Yosemite this year the first week of June. Probably the first week of May would be a better idea to go. You need to think about shoulder seasons and even off seasons. You need to think, listen, some of these parks are incredibly beautiful in the fall and in the winter, and there's nobody there. So it might not necessarily be your – if you're a hiker or you want to climb a mountain or you're more of an adventure tourist, then some of these places at off-season might not work for you. But if you're not, in some cases they might. So you get better prices. There wouldn't be as many people. The other thing is get out of bed early in the morning. That's the thing to do. If you're talking about Yosemite or something, get up and watch the sunrise in the morning. You might not be a morning person, but you'll beat the whole world. And you'll be out there and see the park at a really spectacular time of day. Another thing to do is during the dinner hour, like in Yosemite Valley, go visit some of the waterfalls and stuff during the dinner hour in the evening. So think opposite of what people are thinking really is the best idea that I can suggest to you. A few of the parks now will take reservations, not very many of them. So be thinking about shoulder seasons. And if you, whatever you thought the shoulder season was, back it up 3 or 4 weeks.
Very good. Very good. All right. Let's check our next question here. Jackson said that he heard you mention Route 66 on a recent show and wants to know, where does Route 66 pass through Northern California?
Jackson, it does not. That historic old highway does not pass through Northern California. Another one does, though. We'll mention talk about that in just a second. Route 66 goes from Chicago to Los Angeles. So through all the way through Illinois, through Missouri, a tiny, tiny little snippet of Kansas, 13 miles off of the corner of Kansas, and then across Oklahoma and through the panhandle of Texas and New Mexico and Arizona and California. It does not get into Nevada at all. So Route 66, about 2,500 miles from Chicago to Los Angeles. So it does go through California, but Southern California. The historic highway that goes through Northern California, it was actually 66 got the most attention and will get a lot of attention in a year and a half when it hits its centennial. But the first highway across the country, the first time you could ever start on one side and follow a map and get to the other side, was the Lincoln Highway, which does pass through Sacramento. It celebrated its centennial in 2012, so it's actually about 113 years old. 66, you know, the first road comes along Lincoln was a bunch of little snippets of farm-to-market roads and things like that, and they said, well, if you take this road, and then you take this road, and 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 you take this road, eventually you'll get there. Well, so by the time 66 came along, they said, look, this is ridiculous. Let's have highways that go. And President Eisenhower had been in Europe and had seen the Autobahn, and he had this vision for interstate highways. But 66 came before that. It was the first time that we really had highways, per se, in this country. So it doesn't pass through Northern California, only Southern. We have the Lincoln in Northern California.
All right. We're doing the Travel Guys mailbag. You can leave your questions at TravelGuysRadio.com. Sholanda inquires, do you have one of the – this is a great question here. We'll put you on the spot. Do you have one surefire tip for getting the lowest airfares? She said, I tried flying with Frontier because they had the lowest fares, but when I had to pay for the baggage and everything else, I'm not sure it was cheaper.
There really is a lot of the old hacks and tips for getting the lowest airfares. You know, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Saturday used to be the cheap days. And Sunday, Monday, and Friday were the expensive days. And you wonder where Thursday is on that list. And it was kind of the neutral day. If you flew out on a Tuesday and you came back on a Saturday, you'd get the lowest fare. That's still sometimes the case, Tuesday, Wednesday, Saturday for the lower fare days. But with dynamic pricing and the like, airlines and their computers are repricing things all the time. So you might very well find that a certain pattern works and you go back the next year and try the same pattern and say, well, the fare is $200 more. And you go a week later and the fare is back down to where you thought it should be. So there's not a lot of rhyme or reason. It really is supply and demand. So when you're shopping for airfares, I have found the best site to use is called Kayak.com, K-A-Y-A-K. They used to not sell airline tickets. Now they're owned by one of the big sites, and they do sell tickets. But Kayak will compare airfares for you. If you enter in what you're looking for, they'll tell you what's available on every airline and what the cost is, and then you can make an informed decision.
All right, we got a little less than 2 minutes, so let's move it along. Maile inquires, a friend tells me Costco sells Southwest gift cards for 10% off. Do you have to be a member to buy them?
Yes and yes. Southwest sells $500, $499 worth of travel for 10% off on a fairly regular basis. Not all the time, but on a fairly regular basis, you can buy several at a time. And yes, you have to be a member to be able to get that special price.
Jerry asks, wants to know if you have any details on when Southwest is going to be changing to charging for reserved seats on their flights. And he also wanted to know when we are going to get a nonstop flight to Europe from Sacramento.
Okay, first things first here, Southwest. I don't know the answer to that. They have said they intend to institute that sometime early in 2026. We will know because Airlines Southwest announces their flights about 8 to 9 months ahead of time. So it will show up in their offerings. I'm sure they will tell us also. But my guess is that you will start to see it if they plan to institute it early next year. You'll start to see those opportunities for paying more to fly on Southwest by choosing a seat sometime in late spring. And then about the nonstop flights to Europe from Sacramento, I have no idea. Great question. Next time we get our gentleman on from the airport after the first of the year, why, we will ask him. Gosh, that would be really amazing. Right now we've got Canada and Mexico, so something to Europe would be really quite amazing. Let's see if anybody knows. I'll snoop around and try to get you an answer for that in the next couple of weeks.
Last question, perfect timing. Charlotte wants to know what this song is that we're going to play right now at the end of the show. Who is that?
Oh, this is the Alan Parsons Project. It's just called A Traveler, and it's really I stumbled across it years and years ago and really, really loved it.
And with that being said, let's wrap it up, Mark.
All right, dance like nobody's watching. Thanks for all your great questions and for your time and listening to The Travel Guys with us.
See you next time, my friends. Stay well.
The traveler is always leaving town. He never has the time to turn around.